Well, again, good morning. As I said to you before Mass, if today is your first day here at Christ the Redeemer, I just want to say welcome to our family. I'm Father Mark, and whatever brought you here this morning, it's just great to have you joining us today. We're all on the journey together. Maybe what brought you here was just the desire to get out the cold weather or to pray for the saints for this afternoon, or maybe what brought you here was a New Year's resolution to maybe start going to Mass again and maybe even reconnect with God. But whatever brought you here, I just want to say welcome. It's great to have you with us today. And if it was a New Year's resolution that brought you here, then you can join a lot of us who perhaps have those. Lots of us have New Year's resolutions. It's what a lot of people are talking about. And in case you're wondering what the most common 2018 New Year's resolutions are, according to the internet, here they are. Here we go. Number one, eating healthier. Number two, getting more exercise. Number three, saving money. Eating healthier, getting more exercise, saving money. How about rounding out the list? Here we go. Focus on self-care, read more, make new friends, learn a new skill, get a new job, take up a new hobby. Those are all of the resolutions for 2018. And if you made one, good luck. I hope that this is a good year for you. And I hope that our success with New Year's resolutions is a little bit more successful than in the past. Looking at the same article on the internet this morning, it said that less than 10% of people who start off the new year with a resolution actually end that year having that resolution come to fulfillment. Less than 10% of people succeed in things like eating healthier, getting more exercise, or saving money. Now, you might ask yourself, why is that? And you might say to yourself, as you ask that, well, that's because those types of resolutions require a lifestyle change. They are profound habits that need to be formed and other things, virtues that need to be reformed in our life. And a lot of folks say that the reason why we struggle to have success with our New Year's resolutions is because they're too big. The aspirations are too big. Nothing wrong with New Year's resolutions, right? And I'm actually kind of interested in why is it that less than 10% of people succeed? I mean, they're relevant to our lives. We have a desire for them. Hey, they're good for us. They weren't good for us. If we didn't want them, if it wasn't relevant, we wouldn't have spent the time actually thinking about what we would want this new year to look like for us. But less than 10% of us actually succeed in it. And lots of people would say it's because those resolutions are too big. And I wonder this morning if one of the reasons why a lot of us find ourselves on December 31st looking back on January 1st with no real change in our life was not because those resolutions were too big. Perhaps the reason why we aren't sustained in our drive and discipline is because those resolutions are actually too small. Imagine just for a second that what we really want in our lives is a life change. When our hearts to experience a lot more joy, freedom, and happiness, and as we pursue healthier eating or healthier lifestyle or saving more money, perhaps that's what we're looking for, all that, but I wonder if we're actually thinking too small. And so just imagine, just for a second, if in 2018 you could think even bigger than those New Year's resolutions, imagine if there was something even more powerful, more influential that could change your life, not only in the immediate moment and not only in 2018, but imagine if there is something that could be bestowed upon you in 2018 that would actually change the rest of your life. Would you want that? Imagine, just for a second, if we had a conversation today about something that would not only change your life for the rest of your lives, but imagine something that could actually change your family and the lives of those that you love the most. Imagine just for a second if all of us did that. if in the next 12 months of our life, God himself blessed us in such a way that he transformed our entire parish community, would you be interested in that as a gift of 2018? See, perhaps what God is asking us to do today is not to think as small as eating healthier or losing weight or saving money, but thinking as big as he thinks, desiring as big as he wants, and receiving as much as he wants to give. Imagine today if you could hear God on a daily basis. Imagine if in the midst of all of the ordinary things that you go through in life, if you could hear God speak to you. Imagine in your relationship with God, if you could hear God speak to you. Imagine what that would do in your relationship with God if you were able to speak freely to him and hear freely from him. Exodus 33 says that Moses used to speak to God as one man speaks to another. Imagine what your relationship would look like by the end of this year if you were able to hear God speak to you. Would you want that? Hey, let's think about it right now. Do you think that your marriages would be stronger if you heard God speak to you on a daily basis, coaching you, tutoring you, encouraging you on how to be a better spouse? Do you think your marriage would be better if you were able to hear God? Your families. You think you'd be a better parent or a worse parent if you were able to hear God? What would that do to your relationship with your children? What would that do to your confidence in navigating the twists and turns of raising kids in today's world? Imagine what your life as a parent would look like if you could hear God. And imagine if we all did that, if God blessed us all with that, if we all received that gift, what Christ the Redeemer could look like in one year by the end of 2018 if we all heard God, if everything that happened here came from God, was blessed by God, was led by God. Imagine what our parish would look like if we all could hear God speak to us. Would you want that? Because that is something big enough for us to aspire and ask the Lord for today. Imagine what your life could look like if you could hear God. Now, I think the reason why we don't ask for that, I think one of the reasons why we don't shoot for that or resolve for that as a new year starts is because it just seems too big. And it can, at least in my life, feel like there's a whole lot of pressure on me because I've tried to hear God in the past and it hasn't been easy, or I've tried to hear God in the past and I haven't always heard him, or I've tried to hear God in the past and sometimes I don't know if it's just me hearing me. And so when we look at the depth and the profound nature of that gift, it can seem real big. And not only does the gift feel big, but the pressure or the felt responsibility for that to happen in our life also feels real big. And so a lot of us shy away from asking God for the ability to hear him because we can, I don't know, erroneously think that the pressure's on us. And here's the thing. The pressure's not on us. The pressure is on God. And that's the good news that we hear today. We hear this incredible story from the first reading today, first book of Samuel. We hear about the early movements in Samuel's life as Samuel first heard God speak to him. A little bit about Samuel and where is he and why is he there, and a little bit about his life. His mother Hannah was the second of two wives. She was barren with children, desperately wanted to have a child, and trusted that God was going to bless her with a child. And she found herself in the temple day in, day out, asking God to bless her because she believed that God could do more in her life than we could ever ask or imagine. Eli, who's the high priest that year, he finds her in the temple, and she's so intent on prayer that he actually thinks that she's been drinking, and he wants to toss her out the temple. She shares her heart with Eli and says, I want a child. And eventually Eli sees her sincerity, her integrity, and he allows her to stay. Well, here's the thing. She conceives a child, Hannah does, and that child's name is Samuel. And she's so grateful that she's been given this child that she brings him back to Eli the priest. She brings him back to the temple so that Samuel could grow up in the temple, consecrated to the Lord and for whatever the Lord would want. So Samuel is in the temple. He's growing up there, and he's a child. And he's sleeping one night. Of course, we hear the story in the first reading. Three times the Lord speaks to him. And I love that line in the first reading today. It says, at this season of Samuel's life, he had not yet known the Lord. But there's a key piece in the reading today that I just want us to relish and savor, because it is good news for all of us. Here's the good news in the reading. Samuel wasn't the one who was pursuing God. God was pursuing Samuel. One more time. Samuel is not the one who was pursuing God. God was pursuing Samuel. As much as Samuel may have wanted to hear the Lord, God wanted himself to be heard. Let me say that again. As much as Samuel may have wanted to hear the Lord, God wanted to be heard more. And what we see in Samuel's life is true for all of us, but it's a key moment in Samuel's life where God is the one who's pursuing him. Remember, all the way back to his conception, as Hannah was begging God, God is the one who gave her the gift. God is the one who blessed her with a child. God is the one who took the initiative in Samuel's conception. And it is God today in the first reading who is taking the initiative, wanting to be heard, who is pursuing Samuel. There can be a lot of pressure on us a lot of times, and that's just good news to me, and I think to all of us, to be reminded today that God wants to be heard more than we want to hear him. Let me just say that again. As much as you and I may want to hear God, God wants to be heard more than we could ever want to hear him. So the pressure isn't on us to trick God into conversation or to get our life right in order that God might pay attention to us or maybe say the right words or have the right New Year's resolution. Wherever you are today, by the mere fact that you are on the journey, that's enough. God is pursuing us. Whether you walked into church today and it's been a long time since you've been to church and you don't feel worthy and you don't even know all the Catholic prayers or what to say or when to stand and you're just kind of new to this whole thing, hey, here's the thing. God wants to speak to you more than you want him to speak to you, more than you could ask for him to speak to you. Whether you're the most seasoned veteran here, you've been in the Adoration Chapel for years and yet you've never heard God and you think you have it right, hey, God wants to speak to you more than your desire for him. So whether you think you're a saint, whether you're a sinner, whether you have it all together in life or whether you don't have anything together in life, whether you believe in Jesus or whether you were just walking into church today and you were giving God one more shot, hey, here's the thing. God wants you to hear him more than you want him. In fact, isn't that really what we just celebrated? We're just a couple weeks out of the fragrance of Christmas, and all of us were swept into the story of the scene of the Christmas tree and the decorations and the presents and the family gatherings. But there is a truth underneath all of that that isn't Christmas. And here's the truth, that God wanted to reveal himself. He wanted us to see his face. He wanted us to know his name. He wanted us to know that he took the initiative to be a part of our lives. God's the one who took the initiative to reveal himself to the Blessed Virgin so that she could conceive. God's the one who led her to Elizabeth, and she found that Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. God's the one who inspired Joseph to say, yes, God's the one who brought him to Bethlehem. God's the one who protected them along the way. The entire Christmas story that you and I just celebrated together reminds us that God always takes the initiative. And what we see in Christmas is what we see in Samuel today in the first reading. And it is the good news for all of us. God wants us to hear him more than we want God to speak to us. So if that could change your life, and in number two, if God's the one who's taking the initiative to make that happen, then what is it that you and I are called to on this Sunday? Well, maybe we could go right back to Samuel and we could learn from an ordinary reading in the Old Testament. Samuel was sleeping, but he was not just slumbering his way through the night. He was sleeping in a very particular place. He was in the temple. He was in the right spot, you might say, to be found by God. If God was doing the searching, all Samuel had to do was put himself in a position to be found. I'm going to tell you a quick story that I think drives home the point here. Many of you know from my first time with you that I have had a beautiful and life-changing relationship with the Institute for Priestly Formation, and it's through IPF that I met Father Larry Gillick, a Jesuit of the Omaha community. Father Larry is a gifted spiritual director. He's gifted, I think, with many spiritual senses, and perhaps, I don't know, they are a little bit more sensitized in the spiritual realm because one of his physical senses is compromised. He's blind. And Father Larry's a great guy. He's an incredible spiritual director and a wonderful storyteller. Tells the story of going on vacation with some of his Jesuit brothers in Wisconsin to a place that he would vacation every year, and he's very familiar with the area. And Father Larry, he's in shape. He exercises regularly, and he tells a story on this particular day of going on a walk by himself in a neighborhood that he's very familiar with. And so he tells the story of taking a walk in this neighborhood this particular day, and for whatever reason, he gets a little turned around, and all of a sudden he realizes that he's lost, and he's blind. And he begins to panic a little bit, as you would ordinarily do if you're blind and you're lost. And so he does what every good Jesuit does. He prays, and he says to God, God, I'm lost, and I need your help. And he hears the Lord say back to him, sit down in the middle of the street. To which Father Larry says back to God, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. To which God says to him, put yourself in a position to be found. So Father Larry sits down in the middle of the street, and he's waiting and waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden he hears a car getting ever closer. And these stories end really, really good, or they end really, really bad. And this one ends really, really good. Now the car stops. They see Father Larry sitting in the middle of the street. They actually know Father Larry. They get out the car. They say, Father Larry, what are you doing? He says, put myself in a position to be found. They say, get in the car. So he gets in the car, drives up to his house, and he gets out the car, walks up the driveway, puts his hand on the front door, and he stops, and he realizes that he just learned the most important thing in the spiritual life, and that's this. When you're lost and you don't know where to go, stop and put yourself in a position to be found. If we're going to be found, that means there's a finder. That means there's someone looking for us. That means there's someone who is pursuing us. And what we see in Christmas and Samuel, what we know to be true about the person of Jesus Christ, the Trinity, is that God is pursuing us. He wants to be heard. And sometimes we just need to put ourselves in a position to be found. Eli was in the right position to be found. He was in the temple. And he had someone there who could help him hear the voice of the Lord. And so after the second time that Eli recognized that Samuel was being beckoned by the Lord, it was Eli who attuned Samuel's ears to the voice of the Lord. And because Samuel was in the right place, he put himself in a position to be found. He heard the Lord speak to him, and his life was changed. Some say Samuel was the first of the prophets. He certainly was a great leader of Israel. He was a priest. It was Samuel himself who picked and anointed the first two kings of Israel. The course of Israel itself was dramatically, historically, and forever impacted because Samuel heard the voice of God. So if God wants us to hear him, and if that is something that could dramatically change in our lives, then the pressure is not on us to simply resolve and wish and hope and ask God to do that. Actually, it's God's responsibility to do the speaking, and it's our responsibility to put ourselves in a position so that we can hear him. It's our responsibility not to coach God into wanting to speak to us. He already wants to speak to us. It's our responsibility to put ourselves in a position so that we can hear the Lord. So here's the homework for us this week as we start to move forward together. And it's about putting ourselves in a position to be found, putting ourselves in a position to hear the Lord. Over the next several weeks, for the Bryce and I, as we have been praying together, listening to the Lord, whether you get Father Bryce at Mass or me at Mass, you're going to hear the same message over the next several weeks. We are committed as Eli to helping you hear the voice of the Lord. And as Eli helps Samuel, Father Bryce and I are committed as we listen to the Lord to helping you learn how to hear the voice of God, to learn how to pray as we start this new 2018 year off together. So this week, one thing that we can all do is we can begin to take a look at our lives and ask ourselves, what's the position that we need to be in order to hear the voice of the Lord? And that comes around time. We're not asking you to change any habits this week. We're not asking you to try to do anything other than take an honest look at your life and ask yourself, where is the time that can be consecrated to God, given to God, so that we might hear him? Hannah consecrated Samuel to the Lord. She gave him, she set him aside, apart for the Lord. There is time in our lives that needs to be handed over, consecrated to the Lord, so that we can hear him. If you go to our website, ctr-hgdiocese.org, you can check out a resource that we're giving you, so that you can begin to do a little homework, do some investigation, look at your life to see where is the time. Maybe it's at lunch, maybe it's early in the morning, maybe it's late at night, but you yourself have to discern that with perhaps someone you know, like your spouse or a friend who's going to walk with you. And if you need just a little help, just ask God to show you. But before we actually start talking about what to do, we need time to make that happen. And I'm excited about the possibility of us taking the first small step. And if we take one small step together, trust the process, one small step together, you could actually be one step closer to the most life-changing gift that you've ever received from God. If you take one small step with me this week and look at your life, then God will take even bigger steps toward us to make that happen. So imagine what would happen if we all did that. Imagine if we all looked at our life this week, we came back to Mass next Sunday, ready to take another step closer to hearing the voice of the Lord. Imagine what our parish could look like. Imagine what your life could look like. And even more importantly, imagine what's at stake if we don't. Imagine what's at stake this week if we just kind of bypass over this little small task that's in front of us and we get swept up into something else and we come in the next Sunday a little less sensitized to the gift that God wants to give us. Man, my heart would break if only 10% of us received that gift, just like only 10% of people come through on their New Year's resolutions. There is a lot more at stake than just another cool thing at church. What God wants to do in our lives is nothing short than transform it. Imagine what your life could look like if you were given that gift and if you could hear the Lord. How about we pray together right now? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we come before you as a faith-filled community, believing that you want to be heard more than we want to listen to you. We believe that you have far more desires than we do. We believe that you're taking the initiative, and we stand before you ready for you to speak your words to us. And as you transform the lives of Samuel and Hannah and Eli and all of Israel with them, Lord, we give you permission to change us, to transform us. Lord, bless us today with the gift of just looking at our lives and asking, where's the time? So that we might create space in our lives to listen to you. Lord, give us the grace that we need during these next few weeks to put ourselves in a position to be found, so that your kingdom may come and your will be done, and our lives might be transformed. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord.